today on Real Radio.
Is your church filled with a bunch of super saints, which are no saints at all? Or is your church filled with a bunch of lovers of men's souls who will obey the word of God, even over our own feelings? What rules and reigns in our lives? Is it the word of God? Or is it our concept of what a church should look like and be like?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Church, Jesus Style, Part 1, continues in a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering verse 1 of Galatians chapter 6 today. We cannot be saved from our sin just by being good or by obeying the law. We can only be saved by believing in Jesus Christ and only in Him. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul warns us that those who do not live by the Holy Spirit but gratify themselves in all manner of sinful desires will not inherit the kingdom of God. In chapter 6, Paul now shows us what a church should look like. The church is to be a family centered on others, a living body that finds fulfillment not in gratifying ourselves, but all those who are in the body of Christ. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that we are to love a believer back from sin by going to them privately. We're not to gossip with others about it. Instead, we are to help restore the sinner by leading them into repentance and back into fellowship. And now continuing his lesson called Church, Jesus Style, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I actually had somebody told me that they would lie in confession because they couldn't think of the sin that they had done that week, so they would make stuff up so that they could tell the priest something. So in their confessing, they're lying. And oh, by the way, Father, forgive me because I'm actually lying right now about the things I've been confessing. It's like, what? No, you don't bend somebody's neck around until you try to get a confession out of them. Well, how do they realize their sin? Are you ready, everybody? You and I need to pray for them. Pray that God would open up their eyes. Do you know somebody who's sinning? How about this? You know somebody who's logging on to sites they ought not to go to, or talking to this person and that 900 number, or visiting this or doing that? If you suspect such a thing, bow your sweet little head, fold your little hands and say, Father, I ask you to take Billy Bob, and the next time he goes to such and such a place, or if they're together again, cause them to both get violently ill. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. It's called imprecatory prayer. David, King David, did it all the time. Father, how great thou art. I love thee, for thou inhabitest eternity. And Lord, concerning those who attack me, break off their teeth in their mouth, David prayed. Isn't that funny? Break their teeth off in their mouth. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Say, you got to be kidding me. No. Didn't Paul say, concerning Alexander the coppersmith who did me much harm, may God reward him according to his works. That's what Paul prayed. May the Lord slap that guy. Well, listen, concerning the brother, we can go to them and say, listen, I just want you to know, I know what you're involved in. Something's not straight with you and God. I love you. My lips are sealed. I'm praying for you. And then walk away. Let the Holy Spirit work on them. Let the Spirit of God cause them and bring them to the place of realizing. Okay? Number 2, jot it down. They must repent before God. You can't repent for them. They must repent. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 teaches us that God will not hear their prayers, even though they know God, because He's waiting for the line of communication to be wiped clean again. Fellowship is broken. My friend, it doesn't mean they've lost their salvation. It means fellowship has been broken, for crying out loud. It's like a little child of yours who's being a brat. You are not going to talk to that kid about Christmas gifts. Why? Because the stinker's being a brat. You only want to talk to him or her about one thing, and that is, tell me what you did wrong, tell your mother you're sorry, and then we'll talk to you about other things. It's true with God. You're still my child, but we are not talking about your life being blessed until you repent. 1 John 1:9. Then I'll talk to you. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And we shall have fellowship, says the scripture, one with another. Amen? All right? Realize, repent, that is, they got to change their mind. They got to repent before God. They got to say, God, I see now. I realize where I'm at, and I repent. Number three, restitution. Yep. They must make restitution before man. They've repented to God, but how is it before man? They receive. Remember what we read in the scripture here? If your brother sins, go to him. If he receives you, you've gained your brother. In the act of restitution, the person who is sinning goes and as much as is possible makes right the situation. As much as it is possible. Now listen, some sins are to be left before God and God alone because they were committed before God and God alone. Then there may be a sin that involves you and some other person. And if those people have repented before God, then you don't talk about it outside that circle. Or lest you become a gossip, and the end is worse than the beginning. Here's what happens so tragically. In Matthew's Gospel 18, verse 15, it says that, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go to him and tell him his fault between you and him alone. People, listen, I don't say this specifically to this church. I'm saying this to the body of Jesus Christ. I do not see this integrity in people's lives hardly at all. You know what I see? I see someone sin against someone else, and that person who's the someone else gets hurt. And they go around and they tell everybody else about it, and they don't go to him who hurt them, who sinned against them. Their mouth is yapping on like a chainsaw moving. Just wah, wah. And they go to a prayer meeting and wah, and all this stuff. And, you know, I don't mean to gossip, but dear God, help our brother Freddie, who's fallen into this gross immorality. That's gossip. That sin's, that prayer is an abomination to God. It's a sin. Have you gone to them privately? If you have not, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be involved in your sin. Who hurt you? Go to them privately. This is the scourge of the church at this hour. We will gossip about it. We'll do anything but obey the Bible about it. And though they may have sinned against us and hurt us, and we committed no sin in the act, in the situation, because we're hurt, our emotions are up in a flare, and we'll go out and we'll enter into their sin. Go to them alone. And then that person is to turn and make restitution. This is a silly example, but before I had gotten saved, I'm going to stress that, before I got saved, I stole from a Bob's Big Boy a salt and pepper shaker. Now, it's the funny thing is I could have afforded gold-plated salt and pepper shakers. Why did I want these? Because I wanted a Bob's Big Boy salt and pepper shaker because they're cool looking. So I thought, you know what, they've got, and I justified it in my head, they got millions of these things. What are they going to lose? You ever see that movie Home Alone and the guy's trying to steal salt and pepper shaker from the airplane? And he says what I thought. Oh, they're not going to miss it. They got 1,000 of these. I'm like, take it. It's like 17 or 18 years old. What a ding dong. And then I got saved. And I saw these salt and pepper shakers in my kitchen cabinet thingies, whatever it's called. Cabinets, things, ladies, whatever, cupboards. And I looked and I went, oh my gosh, I stole those. Those are stolen goods. And I took them and I went, this, by the way, now, by the time I found them, from the time they were, probably 4 years had gone by. From the time I took them to getting saved and then finding them. And I drove back to that town and I went to that Bob's Big Boy and I said, excuse me, can I talk to the manager? What is it? I just need to talk to the manager. So the guy comes out and he goes, what is it? I said, you know what? About 4 years ago, I stole these salt and pepper shakers, these two shakers, from this place. And I want you to have them back. And the guy said, are you crazy? I And I said, you know what? I became a Christian. And I found these, and I remembered I stole them. They don't belong to me. And I want to give these back to you, and any money I may owe you on top of it. And the guy said, you know what? This is the strangest thing I've ever heard. Just get out of here. And I left. You know what? He probably thought, in fact, I'm sure he's telling people today, you know what kind of idiot? I ran into this idiot one time. You know what? I don't care what he thinks. I went away free. Amazing, strange little thing. I found it was hooked to my heart. And in that act of just so sincere, innocent obedience unto the Lord, I thought, my goodness, what a big deal. God, you're amazing. Restitution. Number four, we must receive them back into the body, people. Well, did you hear about this and hear about that? You know what? They repented of that. Listen up, church. We're to receive them back into the body. And here is a great thing. Is your church filled with a bunch of super saints, which are no saints at all? Or is your church filled with a bunch of lovers of men's souls who will obey the word of God, even over our own feelings? What rules and reigns in our lives? Is it the word of God? Or is it our concept of what a church should look like and be like? If, as it were, in Jesus' day, when those men caught a woman in a very act of adultery, they, remember what the Bible says, they dragged her to Jesus. They didn't even let her walk. They dragged her there. Moses said she's to be stoned to death. But what do you say, Jesus? Trying to pit Jesus against Moses. And you would think, oh, that is tough. Moses, that God did give that in the law. That is the law. Stoner! Jesus, only the Holy Spirit could ever respond this way. No human can respond this way. Jesus says, well, let he who is without sin among you, let him be the one who throws the first stone at her. Oh, Jesus, touchdown, 6 points, home run! Every sinner in the area, when they heard that, went, oh, yeah! He just nailed those guys with it. You would have had to have held yourself back from rejoicing in that moment of conviction because you would have went, yahoo, Jesus, yeah. But then you said, sorry. From across the street where this took place, sorry, Jesus, don't want to interrupt, but that was mortifying. That was good. Why? Because the righteous legalist is saying, stone such people, throw them out, cast them away. And Jesus says, listen, all right, we'll stone her. We'll kill her. Whoever is without sin, let him be the one that throws the first stone. And then all of us who are without sin will stand behind you and we'll follow in line. The awesome thing is the only one who could throw the stone was Jesus. And he said, woman, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Literally, go and live that lifestyle no longer. Exactly of Galatians 5 and 6. This better be a church of receiving them back. And then finally, we're done here. They need to be rerooted. I want to make sure you got that right, because I said it a few times in my head this morning. And I said it wrong. Rerouted? No, not rerouted. Yes, just reroute them right out of our church. Send them to the church down the way or over the hill. Or just get them out of here. No, rerooted. And people, when you fall down, the church is to be the one that rushes to your aid and picks you up. Did you know that? I want to say this pastorally-like, in a pastorly way, not a pesterly way, pastorly way, that if you're a sinner and you have realized it and you've gone before God about it, you made restitution as it is directed by the Lord regarding it. I want to say the latter two acts are upon our neck to receive you and to re-root you, that is, get you grounded again in the Lord. I want to say that if we as a church or if anybody from this church or in the name of this church has ever implied or taught anything different than what you're hearing today, it is them speaking and not the Lord. Because for some of us, we've been around the block a few times, we know that those who have fallen down and have been restored, those are the brothers and sisters that I love to war with in this Christian battle, arm in arm, next to. You want to know why? They have known the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And they don't want to ever go that way of defeat again. It's the brother or the sister that's got their head so high in the clouds and they themselves so superior above everybody else that's in store for the biggest tumble of all. And I don't care to be near them because you can't talk to them and you can't work with them. But those who have been restored, oh, are they wonderful to be around. They're gentle. They're gracious. They're forgiving. And they're biblical. They'll come up to you and they'll say, listen, brother, this is the deal. I saw this. I hear this. I feel this. I sense this. Take it to the Lord. If there's any truth in it, God will talk to you. Then you go back and you say, you know what? You were right. I went to the Lord and that it was in my heart. Please, I've gone to God asking for forgiveness. Will you forgive me? Yeah, you're forgiven, man. Cool. You know what? I receive you back into my fellowship. Great, thanks. We can worship together. In fact, let's go worship together in the house of the Lord, man. Let's go. Excellent. You know what? Can you help me? Can you keep your eyes open next time? That if you see this start to happen again with me next time around, will you tip me off sooner? Sure will. All right. You've gained your brother. What a beautiful thing. You guys, we're alive. We're a church. To be anything other than this is to be a hypocrite, is to be legalists. It's not what God wants. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lord, I don't know, but you know very well. If there be a man or a woman, a young person perhaps in this place today, that would have the evil eye of pride, to think in their minds, well, I sure hope so-and-so was listening to that message. Or I sure hope that I can get this mailed off to him so whoever they. No. The scripture says that we better be careful to consider ourselves lest we also be tempted. We're in this together. And there go we, but for the grace of God. If this morning you came into this place very self-reliant upon your good works, you're hoping in the end that your good will outweigh the bad, that the beans on one end will be heavier than the beans on the other, and the scale will tip in your favor. My friend, you are playing Russian roulette with your eternal destiny. And you're going to lose. You need to have that bean or beans removed from the scales completely and Jesus' righteousness deposited into your account. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed right now, we are still, we are silent in the sanctuary, nobody moving about. I'm going to ask you right now where you're at. And I'm speaking to the Christian right now. Will you today, now, realizing that there's things in your heart against someone, or maybe there's things in your own life that you've gone off and done, and your fellowship is broken with the Lord. Will you settle that right now, please, today? Right where you're at, will you deal with that now? Give it to him. You hear him talking to you about it right now. You don't even want to listen to it. You don't even want to look at it. But he's talking to you. And maybe this morning there's someone here today, you want to become a Christian. I know this was not an evangelistic message, but you know what? You kind of fallen in love with the truth of what God says. And you're saying, man, this is for my life. I want this in my life. You know what? If God's calling you, I don't need to beat you over the head with a Bible. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, do you want to be a Christian today? I'm just going to ask you to put your hand up. I'll see your hand. And that will be that. But you're going to be receiving Jesus Christ today. Anybody this morning, you want Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and have eternal life as we bow our heads in prayer. Anyone at all? God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anyone else this morning? You want to have your sins forgiven. God bless you. Way to my right. God bless you. I'm going to ask all of us in the auditorium to stand right now, if you would. All of us stand together. Do something a little different today. Will you take the hands of those that are near you? And here's the reason why. Either this morning, it comes down to three groups of people in this sanctuary today. There are those who have accepted Jesus Christ today as their Lord and Savior. There are those of us who are Christians and we need God to heal us in this area. We either need to be restored or we need to go and restore a brother. Or there are those who have just flat out rejected what God is saying to them regarding salvation or restoration. But while we're holding hands together, we will pray this prayer. And if you want nothing to do with God at all, do not pray this prayer. Don't even try to blend in. Eyes closed. New believers, the two of you. Today was for you. And God is going to speak hope to you, and He's going to show you things that you have longed for. For the rest of us, today was for us too. And so we pray this prayer out loud together. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Fill my heart with your life. Restore me to you. I believe you died on the cross. I believe that you rose again from the dead. Today, Lord God, I give you my life. Baptize me with your Spirit. And fill me with your word. In Jesus' name, I thank you. And I receive you today. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Church Jesus Style, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and let us love one another as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Church Jesus Style, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings God's gospel of grace to light in a world that preaches a false gospel of works. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Today was day 3 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, by the way, if you've made a decision for Christ and you need some help or you just want to talk to someone about it, head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the contact tab. We would love to get in touch with you. We'd like to have some contact with you, get somebody in touch that can help you in your walk with Christ. Again, if you've just made a decision for Christ, or maybe you need some hand-holding along the way, that's not a problem. Get a hold of us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. And this month's book of the month is called The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. It's by Alfred Edersheim. Now, this book is one of the best known and, quite frankly, one of the most important references on the life of Christ that's ever been written. This classic work successfully portrays the streets, the marketplaces, the religious conflicts, the people, and the places that pertain to the earthly ministry of Jesus. Join the many Real Radio listeners who read the Book of the Month every month by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click the Home tab. That's Pastor Jack's Book of the Month, and that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Check it out right away. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.